إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 18th session from the book Ta'zim As-Salah by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And this topic is dealing with the need, the necessity to attach great importance to the Salat and its recognizing, acknowledging the importance of Salat in the life of a Muslim as a means of exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-azim. Our topic tonight is the last part of chapter 15, dealing with al-khushu'. And before we enter this last part, dealing with the sitting in the end of the salat, the sitting at the end of two rak'ah, before we do that, we would like to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week. So if we look at the study guide for lecture number 17, the first question is discuss the statement of the author, rahimahullah, concerning the standing after ruku', which shows its importance. The statement of the author which shows the importance of this standing after ruku'. Naam. Anybody know what is the statement of the author? Naam, fadl.
Summarize
it, fadl.
I will not say that is a position of Aqbal and Aqbal.
Okay, it's the position in which is recited the best of words of remembrance. Afdal al-Adhkar, naam. Wa anfa'u du'a, the most beneficial of supplications. Naam. Acknowledging Allah's oneness, His tawheed, naam, His ubudiyya, right to be worshipped. And seeking forgiveness, naam, for one's sins.
And it's an intended position that is not less than ruku'.
Naam. It is a ruqan that is maqsood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated, He intended. It's not incidental. Rather, it is something that one should give attention to. It is of importance, of great importance. Those adhkar and ad'iyya that are recited in it should make us to know the importance of this position. So he said it is a rukun that is maqsood. It is intended, intentional. And it is a dhikr in there, in that rukun that is intentional. And it is no less than the bowing or the prostration. The standing after ruku is no less than the bowing or the prostration. If a person reflects on this, it should help us to give more care and attention to the standing after ruku. Second question. Mention the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu from Thabit al-Bunani rahimahullah, which highlights this lost sunnah. The hadith of Thabit. Naam. Somebody else. Anybody else know this hadith? Naam, Musa. Walaikum salam. Naam.
Then he stood up, and after ruku, stood up and stand there for a long time.
Okay, he stood for a long time after ruku,
and they are not doing it.
Okay, naam. But more, yeah, that's the essence, naam. Naam.
He said, Bukhari is Muslim.
Naam.
He said that Anis said that I would not fall short in performing the prayer like the Messenger of Allah used to perform the prayer for.
Naam, Thabit said to them that I will not fall short in performing, in leading you in prayer the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led us in prayer. The same way. And then Thabit said what?
Then he said, I see you doing today, or leaving off you're not performing what he used to perform.
Yani, that Anas ibn Malik used to do something in the prayer that I don't see you people doing today. This is what Thabit said to the people at that time. That I don't see you doing what he did when he performed the prayer in the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was it that he was doing?
He said when he would come from the rukoo and he would stand erect for so long that the people would say qad nasiya. They would think that he forgot to go into prostration.
Now, when he came up from rukoo, he would stand there so long that a person would say he has forgotten. He has forgotten that this is not the standing for long recitation of the Quran. This is the standing for going to prostration. That's how long he stood there. That a person would imagine that he has forgotten. And the same thing, when he sat up after the first prostration, and he was sitting between two prostrations, he would sit so long until a person would say he has forgotten. And he has forgotten that there's another prostration after this. He thinks he's in the end of the prayer. That's how long he would sit. So this hadith is a very important hadith reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and it's something that we are in need of in order to perfect our salat. Question number 3, one supplication is more likely to be accepted in which position or condition and why? In which position? Now, Adam. In sajda. Now, why? Because the nearest that a person would be to the Rabb is when he's in sajda. Now, any add to that anything further? That's because, now, that's the first part of it. Now, Beyond that, Naam. The nearest that you'll be to your Rabb is when you're in sajda. Naam.
The Prophet of Allah said, this is the closest place you will be to our Lord, and what is a better condition than to be?
Naam. That the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the nearest a person will be to his Rabb is in sajda. So therefore, the best condition that a person can be in is when they're nearest to their Rabb. So then what condition and position is more likely that dua will be accepted in than the position of sajda, which is the condition in which a person is nearest to Rabb. That's the best condition a person can be in, the best position that a person can be in, and therefore the dua in that position is more likely to be answered. Meaning that if the person is making dua sincere for the sake of Allah. Naam. Question number 4, clarify what is intended by min kamal as-sujood al-wajib. Yani, obligatory aspects of the perfection of prostration. What is meant by kamal wujud? Naam. Sujood al-wajib.
When you prostrate, you prostrate upon all 7 bones.
And when a person prostrates, he prostrates on 7 bones, which are?
The face, meaning
the forehead and the nose.
Two hands,
the palms of the hands.
The knees. And the feet.
And the feet, the extremities of the feet. Yani, atraf al-qadamain. Yani, the tips of the toes of the feet, bent, pointing towards the qibla. That this is from the obligatory, yani perfection, that obligatory aspects of the perfection of sujood. Yani, a person wants to perfect their sujood, there are things that are obligatory and there are things that are not obligatory. This is from the obligatory aspects of the perfection of sujood. That a person pay attention to these 7 bones and make sure that they are all included in one's prostration. Question number 5, mention other aspects of that which adds to kamal as-sujood, the perfection of prostration. Other aspects. Now, fadl. And that the skin of one's face or forehead should be directly in contact with the ground, the floor. Now, along with that, now, Rashid.
That your thighs should be away from
your
stomach.
Tayyib. He mentioned that afterwards. Now, the thighs should not be touching the stomach. Now. Now.
His head is holding him up.
That the person's head is, yani, their head is holding them up when they're on the ground. Yani, they're يعني اعتماده على الأرض. يعني the person is leaning on the ground in such a way that the weight of the head is actually on the ground. يعني not that the person's head is up off the ground, but actually the head, they're leaning on the head as well as their hands and their knees and their feet. Now, now the second description the Sheikh gave. Now, that the higher parts of the body should be lower. يعني the lower parts of the body should be higher than the lower parts of the body should be higher than the higher parts. Yani, the highest part of the body is the head. This should be the lowest place. And the other parts of the body, the neck and upper chest and stomach and those places should be higher. Yani, the person should put themselves in a humble position. Something else that the Shaykh mentioned? Naam. Naam, that the thighs should be raise the above and remove from the yani. Well, the stomach should, as the brother mentioned, should be removed from the thighs, and the thighs should be removed from the calf. A person's calf or the back. This is the calf back here? Yeah, the calf shouldn't be touching the thighs. Now, fadl. Thank you. anything else? Now.
He also said that one should separate his body parts, that every limb is doing its part in worship.
Now, if a person does these things, then every part, every member of the body should have its share in this act of worship, this prostration. And he also said that the arms should not be on the ground. I mean, the way the dog puts the arms on the ground. And these descriptions are very important. They're in the notes. I actually sat down to write out those notes because of the importance of them. I didn't want to leave that to your good note-taking. So I wrote it out. Please read it carefully and utilize it. Because it's of utmost importance. It's critical, really. Prostration is the most important position in the prayer. Then we should try to do it as best as possible. Question number 6. What does Shaitan do or say when he sees a human being perform sajda upon reciting an ayat of prostration? What does Shaitan do and say? Now, somebody else, please. Somebody else, help us. Adam, Jazakallah khair. Abu Jamil. Naam, Salih. Fa'asaytu. Some of the narrators say abaytu, but another narrator said asaytu. Naam. Yani he said, woe to me, the son of Adam, the human being was commanded to prostrate, and therefore, as a result of that command, he prostrated. And as a result of that, for him is the Jannah. And I was commanded to prostrate, Shaitan says, and I refused, I disobeyed. And therefore, for me is the hellfire. And what does he do? And he also says, what does he do and what does he... That's what he says, what does he do? Yani he withdraws and he cries about this. Naam. That's sahih. Yani hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. Question number 7. Memorize one of the ayat indicating that all creatures in the heavens and earth prostrate to Allah. One of them. Just somebody give me one of them and somebody give me the other one. One at least. There are 3 ayats. One of them is very short. Naam. Abu Jamil. Ahsant, mashallah. Which ayat is this? Surah Nahl, 16th surah, ayat 49 and 50. Yani that everything that is in the heavens and the earth prostrate to Allah. Everything that is in the heavens and the earth prostrate to Allah. Including the beasts that are walking upon the earth and the angels. And the angels. Everything is prostrating to Allah. And they are not too proud to do so. Rather, they fear Allah from above them. They fear Allah from above them, and they do what they are commanded. Anybody remember the other ayat? The other ayat. Yasjudu lahu man fis samawati. Wal-nujum. Wal-jibalu. Wal-jibalu. Wal-dawab. Jazakallah khair, mashallah. And the ayat, yani, is basically saying that everyone, yani, who's in the heavens and the earth, prostrate to Allah, including the sun and the moon and the stars and the mountains and the trees and the beasts and many of the people, and many of the people, many of the people, yani, the punishment of Allah is justified against them. And whoever Allah humiliates, there is no one that can honor them. Indeed, Allah does whatever He wills. And these are ayats worth reflection, even if we can't memorize them. I mean, even if we didn't memorize them, not we can't. But definitely we should read them over and over and over and benefit from what they indicate to us. Question number 8. Explain the basis of the author, rahimahullah's statement that as-salat is the best. As-salat is the best of the worshipper's actions. Is the best of the worshipper's actions. What is the basis of this statement? Now,
the pinnacle of ubudiyyah for the body, and every part of the body is worshipping Allah.
Okay, the pinnacle of the perfection of the human being is worship. And what?
And every part of the body is worshipping Allah in sujood.
And every part of the body is worshipping in sujood. Now, and the salat gathers together every aspect of the ubudiyyah, and it includes all of the divisions of ubudiyyah. And therefore, yani as a result of this, the salah is the best of the acts of the human beings. Because the ibadah, the worship of Allah, is the best thing that a human being can do, and the best type of worship is the salah. Now, question number 9, which pillar of salah is the best of its action pillars? And the sir, the secret or essential reason for which salah was legislated? Somebody who we didn't hear from. Which pillar of the salah? Naam. Somebody we didn't hear from. Taif. Musa. Naam. Sujood. Naam. Sujood. It is the most important of all of the pillars of the salat. And the last question, number 10, mentioned the 5 requests pointed to by the author, rahimahullah, to be supplicated for between the 2 prostrations. What are the 5 things that a person should ask for in the sitting between 2 prostrations? Give me one of them. Al-Hidayah. Naam. Another one. Al-Maghfira, Al-Afiyah, huh? Sustenance, risk, naam. Rahma, nobody said Rahma? He said Afiyah, naam. Tayyib. Anybody memorize the hadith? Naam, give me the hadith. Allahumma ighfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, warzukni. Yeah, there's different narrations. There's a number of different narrations. The narration that the Shaykh is referring to is Allahumma gfirli warhamni wahdini wa'afini warzukni. In that order, that's the way he gave it, just like that. And that came in a hadith that's sahih. And there are other narrations that mention wajburni warfa'ni. There are other narrations also. And some of them, yani the order of the words arranged a little differently. Please try to memorize one of them and supplicate with it and benefit from it. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, tonight, inshallah, we're going to try to finish chapter 15. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So, may Allah help us and make it easy for us to complete this. Yani last week we talked about the sitting between 2 prostrations. Yani that was the end of what we talked about, the importance of this sitting and the supplication in it and the things that a person should ask for, and that this is a very important sitting also. It's not just sit up and go back down, rather sit there calmly as yani Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu demonstrated to the people in his time, and as Thabit al-Bunani, rahimahullah, demonstrated to the people in his time, and supplicate. This is an opportunity, a great opportunity for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these important things and others. Today we want to talk about the last sitting, the sitting at the end of 2 rak'ah, or in the end of the prayer also, and in which the tashahud is recited, as Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah, says, and that both parts of the tashahud are inseparable. They are inseparable. Not that the first part of tashahud is recited in the first sitting and then both parts are recited in the last sitting. Rather, the proof is closer to what Imam al-Shafi'i says, that both parts of what is recited at the end of the prayer are included and they are inseparable. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, talks about this, and some of his students have explained it in detail. So pay attention. Here, the Shaykh, yani we're going to talk about yani the beginning of the tashahud, yani tahiyyat lillah, and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and salat on the Prophet and his family, and the shahadatain, and supplicating at the end of the salat, seeking refuge from 4 things, and any supplication that a person yani wants to supplicate with. So yani there are a number of points, and we'll try to cover them yani as best as possible without yani speeding too much. If the adhan is called, we take a break, and after the adhan we're going to complete bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, after mentioning the supplications and the sitting between 2 prostrations, he said, ثُمَّ شَرَعَ لَهُ تَقْرَارُ هَذِهِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ مَرَّةً بَعْدَ مَرَّةٍ إِلَىٰ إِتْمَامِ الْعَرْبَعَ. Then it is legislated for the worshipper to repeat this worship that he has done from the beginning of this rak'ah to the end of it, to this sitting. It's upon him it has been legislated to repeat it again and again until he completes 4 rak'ah until he completes four rak'ah. If it's a four rak'ah prayer, or three, or two, whatever the salat may be. Likewise, it has also been legislated for him to repeat the dhikr, yani the words of remembrance, of praise and glorification of Allah, and so on, again and again, one time after another. And this is more effective in achieving the objective, yani to repeat these acts of worship and these words of praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repeating them and the supplications, repeating them is more effective in achieving the goal. Wallahi, if a person would take their time, instead of hastening to the salat, and concentrate on what they're saying and repeat some of these things, you will find a greater and greater benefit in the repetition along with reflection. And this is also more inviting to a condition of istikana, yani a person being in a position of resignation and khudu', submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the person has completed the ruku' of the salat and the sujood, the prostration, the bowing and the prostration and the recitation and the tasbih, declaring Allah's perfection and takbir, declaring Allah's greatness, when the person has completed all of this, it has been legislated after all of these things that one sit fi akhir salatihi, in the end of his salat, jilsata, and he listened to the description of this sitting, he said that a person sit fi akhir salatihi, جلسه المتخشع المتذلل المستقين جاثيا على ركبتيه. يعني what kind of sitting? The sitting of one who is humble, متخشع يعني خشوع, متذلل lowly, مستقين resigned, submissive, جاثيا على ركبتيه, kneeling on his knees. This is the sitting that a person should be conscious in. This sitting, this is the kind of sitting you should be, a humble يعني submissive sitting of the person sitting on their rest, yani kneeling down on their knees. وَيَأْتِي فِي هَذِهِ الْجِلْسَةِ بِأَكْمَلِ التَّحِيَّاتِ وَأَفْضَلِهَا. And in this sitting, the person comes with the most complete and perfect of all tahiyyat, and the best of them. And tahiyyat may sometimes be translated as greetings, and it does have that meaning. But the greater meaning of it here, التحيات for Allah, it means تعظيمات. It means words that express the glorification and exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't just mean greetings like, how are you, hello, how is everything. No, it means words, greeting Allah with words of exaltation and glorification of His magnificence and His majesty and His yani greatness. This is the meaning of a tahiyyat here. So in this sitting, the person comes with the most complete and perfect and the best of tahiyyat, in place of the tahiyyah, the greeting that the created beings greet other created beings with when they meet them or enter upon them, in place of that type of greeting that they greet one another with. For indeed the people, they greet their kings and their leaders with all types of tahiyyat. وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ أَوْلَى بِتِلْكَ التَّحِيَّاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سِوَاهُ. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more right to those tahiyyat, those greetings that they greet their leaders and their rulers with. Like they say, لِيَحْيَ الْمَلِكِ. May the king live long, long live the king. May the king live long, may he have eternal life, may he be immortal. What is this nonsense? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more right to such a greeting. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تَتَضَمَّنُ الْحَيَاتِ والبقاء والدوام. Because these greetings imply الحيات, perfect life, والبقاء, everlasting life, والدوام, continuous, ongoing life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more right to such, because the human being, يعني, as the Shaykh said, لا يستحق أحد هذه التحية إلا الحي البقي الذي لا يموت ولا يزول ملكه. Yani nobody is entitled, has a right to such greetings, these type of greetings, no one, except al-hayyu al-baqi, the one whose life is yani perfect, ever living, eternal, the one who does not die in his kingdom, never cease. وكذلك قوله والصلوات. And likewise, yani in this, yani التشاهد, التحيات لله, yani the these greetings or these words of ta'zeem, ta'zeemat, glorification, they belong to Allah. وَالصَّلَوَاتِ كَذَلِكَ. And the salawat فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِقُّ أَحَدٌ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Because no one has a right to the salat, yani to being prayed to, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the salat to other than Him, performing salat to other than Him, is أَعْظَمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالشِّرْكُ بِهِ, is the greatest type of kufr and the greatest type of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the scholars said that as-salawat here means the obligatory prayers. And some of them said it means the voluntary prayers. And some scholars said it means both of them. And even some scholars said it means al-ibadat kulliha. Yani they're all types of prayers. And in fact, every type of worship belongs to Allah. Lillahi. At-tahiyyatu lillahi. Belong to Allah alone. Was-salawat and the prayers and every type of worship. Wat-tayyibat. Wa-kadhalik qawluhu wat-tayyibat. At-tayyibat. Yani the good things, pure things. Here, the Shaykh, he says, the meaning of tayyibat, here, sifatul mawsuf al-mahzuf. Yani, it is a sifat. Tayyibat is a sifat, an adjective, describing the thing which has been, yani, the thing that's being described is not mentioned. It is mahzuf. It is removed, it is omitted, it is deleted. So, the description is there without the thing that it is describing. And this is to leave it open, that it be general, that a tayyibat here, it means at-tayyibat min al-kalimat wal-af'al wal-sifat wal-asma' lillahi wahdahu. Yani that the tayyibat, the good and pure things from speech, from words, from actions, from characteristics or qualities, good qualities, pure qualities, and pure and good names, all of them belong to Allah alone. Yani at-tayyibat is a description of what? A sifat describing what? Al-kalimat at-tayyibat. Al-af'al at-tayyibat. As-sifat al-tayyibat, al-asma' al-tayyibat. It's a description describing all of these things. For indeed, Allah's name, His name is al-tayyib. Al-tayyib, naam. And nothing comes forth from Him. لا يصدر عنه إلا الطيب, except good. And nothing goes up to Him except the tayyib. And nothing comes near to Him except tayyib. And to Him, yani, rises up al-kalim al-tayyib, the good word. وَفِعْلُهُ الطَّيِّبُونَ, and his action is طَيِّب. And the عَمَلَ الطَّيِّب also goes up to him. Good deeds go up to him. وَالطَّيِّبَاتْ كُلُّهَا لِلَّهِ, I mean, فَالطَّيِّبَاتْ. So all types of طَيِّب, good and pure things, all of it belongs to Allah. مُضَافَةٌ إِلَيْهِ, it is all attributed to him. وَصَادِرَةٌ عَنْهُ, and it comes forth from him. وَمُنْتَهِيَّةٌ إِلَيْهِ, and it ends with him. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated from Abu Hurairah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That Allah is طَيِّب, يعني طاهر, pure, مقدس, منزع عن كل عيب ونقص. يعني He is pure. He is, يعني, removed, far removed from any type of defect or shortcoming. He is pure and He doesn't accept that which is pure. يعني the طيب from the speech, and from the actions, and from the beliefs. He doesn't accept, yani at-tayyib. And the Shaykh says, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also decided in His sharia, as well as in His divine decree, that the tayyibat is for the tayyibin. As mentioned in Surah 2, Nur, 24th Surah, 26th Ayat, yani the tayyibat is for the tayyibin. Yani the good, pure, women are for the good and pure men, and so on, the opposite. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is at-tayyib, al-itlaq, He's the absolute good and pure, then al-kalimat al-tayyibat, the good words, wal-af'al al-tayyibat, and the good actions, wal-sifat al-tayyibat, and the good and pure qualities and descriptions, wal-asma al-tayyibat, and the good and pure names, kulluha lahu subhanahu, all of it belongs to Him. لا يستحقها أحد سواه, and no one besides Him is worthy of it. No one besides Him deserves it or has a right to it. Rather, we say that there's nothing that has good in it except that its goodness comes from the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the goodness of everything besides Him, it is from the effect of His goodness. And there's nothing befitting of, yani nothing or no one, yani befitting of this, yani tahiyya tayyiba, this pure, good tahiyya, greeting, except Him. Yani the meaning here, what? that at-tayyibat, I mean, نعم at-tayyibat, yani the kalimat, yani af'al, sifat, all of this that is included in this greeting, it is not befitting of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since, yani this salam is from the types of tahiyya, yani salam, when we greet a person, assalamu alaikum, this is a type of greeting. So since this is a type of tahiyya, and the person who greets someone with salam is making supplication for that one that they're greeting, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who we seek salam from for His servants, which He has chosen for the worship of Him and whom He is pleased with for Himself. Then He has legislated that we begin with this salam, we begin with the one who is most honored of the people to Him, and the one who is most beloved to Him, and the one who is nearest to Him in their station or their status, with this tahiyyah. That is, yani after the greetings for Allah, tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat wa tayyibat, then there's the greeting that comes after that for the best of Allah's creatures, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, assalamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wa assalamu ala an-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And both of these are legislated in the authentic sunnah. Even in spite of the hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud, he said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, then we didn't say assalamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi, but rather we said assalamu ala an-nabi. Yani in consideration of the Prophet, the fact that the Prophet has passed away. And Umar ibn Khattab, in front of a group of companions of the Prophet ﷺ, openly taught the people from the mimbar. In a hadith that's narrated sahih in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, he taught the people after the death of the Prophet to say, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. And this is a clear proof, as Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, said, this is a clear proof that after the death of the Prophet, the companions continued to use both of these greetings. Assalamu alayka ayyuha nabi and assalamu ala nabi, and Allah knows best. But this greeting begins with the best of the creatures, the most honored and most beloved and the nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then those who came after them, as we say after that, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Yani may peace also be upon us, those who are present, and upon all of the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, in the explanation in Fath al-Bari, he says that what is well known is that the salih in this greeting, wa ala ibadillahi salihin, peace be upon the righteous servants of Allah, what is well known is it means the one who fulfills the rights that are, the obligations that are upon him, including the rights of Allah and the rights of the servants of Allah. And At-Tirmidhi al-Hakim, he said rahimahullah, whoever wants to have a portion of this salam that every Muslim is calling for in their salat and every day, saying, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, the righteous servants of Allah, whoever wants to have a portion of this, then falyakun abdan salihan. Then you must be a righteous servant. Otherwise, you will be denied this tremendous, great blessing. How do you be a righteous servant? By fulfilling the obligations that are upon you, including the rights of Allah and the rights of the people, and the rights of the people. Now, and after this, the Shaykh says, then, this salams, yani, after the greetings for Allah, and the salams on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ourselves, and the righteous servants of Allah, then this is sealed, this greeting, tahiyyah, is sealed with, yani, ash-shahadatain. These two testimonies, huma miftah al-Islam, they are the key to Islam. Yani no one can enter Islam without this key, the shahadatain. So these greetings, these series of greetings, they are sealed and they are closed and they are ended with the shahadatain. And this has been legislated to be the khatima of the salat. Yani at the end of the salat, so that the person enters the salat with takbir, saying Allahu Akbar and tahmeed, praising Allah and glorifying Allah and exalting Allah and tawheed or rububiyyah and uluhiyyah, as in al-fatiha and what follows. And then we end the salat with the shahada of la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. And this greeting, yani the tahiyyah, tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat wa tayyibat, has also been legislated in the middle of the salat. Yani if the salat is more than two rak'ah, and this is similar or resembles the sitting that is in the middle of or between the two prostrations. وَفِيهَا مَعَ الْفَصْلِ رَاحَةٌ لِلْمُصَلِّ. And in this, yani this sitting in the middle of the salat, if the salat is more than two rak'ah, then it is not only a separation between those two rak'ah and what follows it, but it is also a means of rest for the person who is praying, so that they may be ready to meet the last two rak'ah that are following with nashat, being active, and with quwwah, with strength. And this sitting in the four rak'ah prayer after two rak'ah is to give the person also a chance to rest, not only to supplicate, but it is also rest to be prepared for the rak'ah, the final rak'ah that are following. After this, the Shaykh mentions the supplication. The supplication, a person supplicating, yani, after this, it has been made. Yani, these words of tahiyyat, they have been made at the end of the salat, in the station or status of khutbah al-hajjah, in front of the khutbah. Yani, before the khutbah, there is khutbah al-hajjah. There are some words before the khutbah. And then after that, yani, comes what the person is in need of. For indeed, the praying person, when they finish from their salat, they sit جلسة الراغب الراهب. Yani, the sitting of a person who has hope and who has fear. Yani, hope for Allah's mercy and His kindness and His reward, and fear of His punishment and His displeasure and so on. The sitting of a person who is seeking, asking from his Rabb that which he cannot do without. ما لا غنى به عنه. لا يستغني عنه. That which he is asking here for, that which he cannot do without, is a necessity that he have it. So it has been legislated for him, in front of this asking Allah for what he is in need of, that these words of tahiyyah, as an introduction, or that which leads up to his su'al, yani his asking his needs. So the tahiyyah comes before, and then after that comes his questioning, and then after the tahiyyah, it is followed by the salat, yani the Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin, salat on the one who his ummah has received this great blessing at his hand, and due to his ambassadorship. Yani that Allah has sent him as the one to be between us, to go between us. So first, the salah is made on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is as though the praying person tawassala ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi'ubudiyatihi thumma bithana alayhi wa shahadati lahu bil wahdaniyya wa li rasulihi bi risala thumma bis salat ala rasulihi. And it is as though the praying person is seeking a means, tawassul, a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the worship that is performed, yani standing and bowing and prostrating and so on, and then the praise of Allah, yani in salat, in the al-Fatiha and otherwise, and then by the shahada, shahadatain, the bearing witness of the oneness, the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengership of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then making salat on the Prophet, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin, and so on to the end of it. Then it is said to the worshipper after all of this, and after these things that lead up to that, he's seeking means of nearness to Allah to ask for his need. Then it is said to him, تَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الدُّعَى أَحَبَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Yani, choose from dua, from supplications, whatever is most beloved to you. As the Prophet ﷺ said in some of the narrations, فَلْيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الْمَسْأَلَ مَا شَاءَ. Then choose, yani after all of this, choose whatever you want to ask for, whatever you will. فَذَاكَ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْكَ وَهَذَا الْحَقَّ الَّذِي لَكَ. So that which preceded is the haq, yani the obligation that is upon you. And this now asking your need is the haq, the right that is for you. Yani all that has preceded is what is obligatory upon you, and now comes your right to ask for what you need. Here, it is important at the end of this tashahud, at-tahiyyat and the shahadatain and the end of all of these recitations, that a person don't end the salat without now taking their right, the right that is due to you now. Don't be in a haste to get out of the salat, but take your time and make dua for yourself. This is your opportunity. All of that preceded that was for you to put yourself in a position to get near to Allah to ask for what you need. Now at the end of the salat, people are in a hurry to get out of the salat and get out of here. And this is the time, the most important time for you. That was for Allah, and now this is for you. So the Shaykh, he says, it has been legislated. The salat, it has been legislated here also upon the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin, and also upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the salat upon him to complete the pleasure, yani the coolness of his eyes, by honoring his family. By honoring his family and making salat upon them, yani meaning asking yani for Allah, the salat of Allah be upon them. And that we also yani ask that there be upon him, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his family, the same as that which was given to Abihi Ibrahim, yani the father, our father Ibrahim, and his family. Yani kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Kama sallaita, yani Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. The salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, just and like also the salat that is upon Ibrahim and upon his ali. And the ali of Ibrahim, yani is the anbiya kulluhum ba'da Ibrahim min alihi. Yani all of the prophets after Ibrahim are included in his alihi. What is meant here? And for this reason, what is being requested for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is salat like the salat that's upon Ibrahim and that which is upon all of the prophets after him and his and the believers from his family. Yani the believers from the family of Ibrahim. All of the prophets. Yani the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Imam Bukhari mentions in his Sahih, one of the best of the sayings of what is salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is al-thana, thanaullah, yani عند الملائكة والملأ الأعلى, yani the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet amongst the angels. We're asking for this salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also upon his family, just as there was salat on Ibrahim and his family, which includes all of the prophets and the believers from amongst his family. It is for this reason that this salat, yani that's mentioned in this supplication, in this manner, in these words, is the most perfect of the ways of asking for salat on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best of them. Yani that which is narrated in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So if a person comes with this, yani the praying person does these things, then he has been commanded now to seek refuge in Allah min majami' ash-shar kullihi. Yani from majami al-shar, yani majma means the place, the point where two or more things meet. Yani the junction where all evil meets. And what is that? Majami al-shar kullihi. Yani indeed, evil, al-shar, is either the punishment of the akhirah or its cause. Yani evil is no more than this. Pure evil is the punishment in the akhirah or the cause of it, what leads to it. فَلَيْسَ الشَّرْءِ إِلَّا الْعَذَابُ أَسْبَابًا. So there is no evil except the azab of Allah in the next life and the causes of it, what leads to it. This is pure evil. Then the Shaykh, he says, وَالْعَذَابُ نَوْعَانِ. Punishment is of two types. عَذَابٌ فِي الْبَرْزَخِ. The punishment in the barzakh means the punishment in the grave, yani the life in between this world and the next life. And the azab fil akhirah. And the punishment in the akhirah means the punishment in the hellfire. The punishment is of two types. The punishment in the barzakh and the punishment in the akhirah. The punishment in the grave and the punishment in the hellfire. And its causes are the fitna. And the fitna is also of two types. Kubra and sugra. The major fitna and the minor fitna. And the major fitna includes the fitna of Dajjal, the false Messiah, and the fitna of Mamat, the fitna of death. The fitna of death. These are the major fitna. The fitna of Dajjal and the fitna at the time when a person dies and they are questioned in the grave. And the minor fitna, the sughra, is the fitna til hayat. Yani the fitna in this life, in this world, the trials and tribulations that a person comes across in this world, the trials of the dunya, and the desires of this world, and so on. Those things which is possible for a person to make up for by tawbah, yani the fitna of this world. A person can make up for them by tawbah, as opposed to the fitna of mamat, of the death, and the fitna of dajjal, whoever yani is overcome by these trials, they will not be able to make up for them. After this, the Shaykh mentions, yani the supplication at the end of the salah, he goes back to it again, he said, it has been legislated here for the praying person to make dua and to choose from the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. The best of what he chooses from the benefits of this world and the benefits of the next life. And the dua in this place before salam, before saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, is better than the dua after the salam. And many people wait until after they get out of the salah and then they start raising their hands making dua, which is not even legislated. Raising the hands. But making dua before taslim is better than making salah, making dua after taslim. Some people wait until after they get out of the salah and they prostrate and start making dua. I've seen that. Yeah, I need from some of the people who are supposed to have knowledge. Making prostration for dua and they just got out of salah. And the Shaykh is saying here, rahimahullah, that the dua before the taslim, before ending the prayer, is better than the dua after it. And it is more beneficial for the one who is supplicating. And likewise, this was the way of the general supplications of the Prophet. Yani generally speaking, his supplications were before taslim. كلها كانت في الصلاة. All of it was in the salat. From the beginning of it to the end of it. So he used to supplicate in the iftitah, in the beginning of the salah, in the opening supplication with different types of dua, a number of different dua. And he used to supplicate in the ruku', second place. And he used to resupplicate after raising up his head from ruku' in the third place. And he used to supplicate in sujood, fourth place, and between two prostrations, the fifth place, and التشاهد قبل التسليم, the sixth place. Yani meaning in the end of the salah after التشاهد before making taslim. These are six places that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized, focused on making dua in the salat. Yani in the opening supplication, iftitah in the beginning and standing, in ruku, after rising up from ruku, in prostration, in sitting between two prostrations, and in the end of the salat before taslim. The Prophet ﷺ has legislated and given us beautiful, important, tremendous supplications for these positions. People abandoned them. They waited till after the salah. They raised their hands. Now start making dua. Wallahu musta'an. And he also taught Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu a dua that he should supplicate with in his salat. And we should learn it. And he also taught Al-Hasan ibn Ali a dua that he should supplicate in the qunut of witr. And we should learn it. And whenever he used to make dua for people or against the people, he made it in his salat after ruku', yani after rising up from ruku', not before, like the regular kunut, opposite. And it is, and the secret of this, yani the reason for this, is that the praying person before making taslim is in the position of private, secret, confidential communion, communication with Allah. And this person is in a position of nearness in front of his Rabb while he's in the salat. So his asking, his requesting in this condition is more likely nearer to being answered than his asking after he has turned away, gotten out of the salat and turned away from the position of sitting in front of his Rabb. Here the Shaykh says, yani the supplication at the end of the salat, and in some discussion about this and some difference of opinion, it had been asked from the Prophet ﷺ which dua is most likely to be heard. And he said, in the middle of the night or in the endings of the obligatory prayers. In the endings of the obligatory prayers, as-salawat al-maktuba. And this hadith is reported by Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Bani said that it's Hassan and Mishkat. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, says, yani adbar as-salawat al-maktuba, in the endings of the obligatory prayers. Wa dubr as-salat, yani the end of the salat, it means the last part of it, like the dubr al-hayawan, yani the back end of the animal or the back of the wall. It is also possible that the meaning could be qad yuradu bid-dubr, yani also from the meanings of dubr, it could mean that after a person is finished from something, yani it's over and they are finished, if there's a karina, yani something that points to or indicates, something else that indicates that the meaning here is after the completion of it, Otherwise, the Shaykh is saying, the meaning of dubr, it means the end, the last part of something before it's finished. But it is possible in some cases it could mean, yani after it's finished, as in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, to declare the tasbih of Allah and tahmeed of Allah and takbir of Allah, dubura kulli salatin thalathan wa thalathina. Yani to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, dubura kulli salatin, at the end of every salat 33 times. And here dubura means, not at the end of the salat before you finish, but it means after the salat is finished. Because there's a qareena, yani something outside of it that points us to the fact that here what he means by it is at the is after the salah is completed. So in this case, yani in the case of that yani hadith, then the meaning of dubr here it means after a person has finished from something. Otherwise, in this meaning here that's in the hadith mentioning that the best of dua or the most yani likely to be heard dua is in the middle of the night or in the end of the obligatory prayers. He said this is like the meaning of inqida al-ajal, yani the end of a person's life. Yani at the person at the end of their life, the end of their time, the last part of their life. For what is intended here is akhir al-mudda walamma yafrug. Yani the end of the time of their life, the last days of their life, when they have not yet finished it. Yani it's part of it, not after it's finished. And this means that when they are finishing it and when they are ending it, but it's still a part of it. And so here the Shaykh is saying that the best, most likely heard dua is in the middle of the night, get up in the middle of the night, and at the end of the obligatory prayers. Here, the Shaykh says, then all of this has been sealed and closed with taslim. And this is the last point that we want to make, has been closed with taslim. Yani saying, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And this taslim has been made the tahleel. Yani, the thing that frees a person from restrictions from the, in the salat. The taslim has been made as tahleel for the salat. The person, through it, goes out of the prayer. In the same way that there is tahleel for hajj. Yani, that a person gets out of the state of ihram by doing certain acts. The tahleel of the ihram in hajj. And this tahleel in the salat, it is the dua of the imam for those who are behind him. The tahleel of the salat is a dua, is the dua of the imam for those who are behind him. Yani him supplicating that they have salama, safety and security and peace, to be free from harm and defects and shortcomings. Yani in this salama, it is aslul khair wa asasuhu. Yani it is the essence of good and it is the foundation of good. The salama that is being, yani the salah is being closed with assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And it has been legislated for whoever is behind him to also become free from the restrictions of the salat with the likeness of what the imam has become free with, yani by also making salam. And in this, it is a dua for him, for the imam, and a dua for the people who are praying with him that they have salam. Yani when the imam is saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then he is praying for the people that they have salam, safety and security and peace. Then it has been legislated also for every praying person, even if they are praying alone, even if they are not in congregation. So what is better and more beautiful than this tahleel for the salat? Yani that a person gets out of the restrictions of salat. In salat, there are things that you can't do, right? There are things that you can't say and actions that you can't perform and certain things that shouldn't be happening when you're in salat. So you come out of those restrictions with this tahleel that is the salam. And what is more excellent, what is better and more beautiful than the fact that the takbir has been made the tahreem of the salat. Yani the thing that prohibits you from doing certain things. Yani that when a person says Allahu Akbar, this is the tahrim, the muharram, the thing that makes haram for a person to engage in certain actions or activities or speech. So what is more beautiful than this tahrim of takbir and this tahleel of salam? فَتَحْرِيمُهَا تَكْبِيرُ رَبْ تَعَالَى. So the tahrim of the salat that prohibits a person from doing certain things, restricts them, is takbir of al-Rabb. Yani declaring the greatness of Ar-Rabb, the Most High. This takbir, which is Al-Jami'u, لإثبات كل كمال له وتنزيه عن كل نقص وعيب وإفراده وتخصيصه بذلك وتعظيمه وإجلاله. يعني this takbir, declaring the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that which brings together a number of matters. The first of them, it brings together, includes within it, إثبات, the confirmation of every perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person says Allahu Akbar, it includes, it brings together that the person is confirming that every perfection belongs to Allah. And that they are clear, declaring Allah to be free from every shortcoming, every defect. And when a person says Allahu Akbar, they are, one, number one, they are confirming every perfection for Allah. And number two, along with that, they are declaring Allah to be free from every shortcoming, every type of defect. And also included in that, Allahu Akbar, is ifradihi wa takhsisihi bidhalika. Yani singling out Allah and specifying, yani particularizing Allah alone for this. Yani that every perfection belongs to Him and He is free from every imperfection or defect or shortcoming. That Allah is alone in this. All of this is included in Allahu Akbar. And ta'zeem and ijlal, yani declaring Allah's exaltation and reverence for Him. All of this is included in this word, Allahu Akbar. فالتكبير, therefore the takbir in the beginning of the salat, يَتَضَمَّنُ تَفَاصِيلَ أَفْعَالَ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقْوَالِهَا وَحَيَّئَتِهَا. Yani, so the takbir includes within it, it encompasses all the details of the actions of the salat, and the sayings of the salat, and the positions in the salat. The salat, the takbir, Allahu Akbar, includes within it all of this, the details of all speech and actions and positions of the salat. فالصلاه من اولها الى اخرها تفصيل لمدمون الله اكبر. Therefore the salat, from the beginning of it to the end of it, is the details, the fullness of the details of this word Allahu Akbar, of what is included in the word Allahu Akbar. The salat is the details of that. So what is more beautiful, what is better than this tahreem? Yani the saying of Allahu Akbar, that includes within it al-ikhlas wa tawheed. It includes in it al-ikhlas and al-tawheed. When a person says Allahu Akbar, they are saying it is for Allah alone. This salat is for Allah alone. And the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the only one worthy of it and due to it. And it is due to Him. وَهَذَا tahleel. And what is more beautiful than this tahleel, al-mutadammin lil-ihsan ila ikhwanihi al-mu'minina, than this tahleel that we get out of the salat with saying assalamu alaykum, which includes within it al-ihsan, kindness and goodness and charity and benevolence to one's believing brothers and sisters. فَافْتُتِحَتْ يعني الصَّلَاةِ فَافْتُتِحَتْ بِالْإِخْلَاصِ وَخُتِمَتْ بِالْإِحْسَانِ. So the salat is opened with ikhlas, Allahu Akbar, and tawheed. And it is sealed with al-ihsan, yani making dua for the believers. Making dua for the believers. And this is the end of this chapter. And alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us to be able to complete it. And yani there's a moment remaining. I'd like to say that yani the hadith that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, mentions concerning the salams, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, that this is definitely legislated, is not yani abrogated, is the hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Malik in his Muwatta. And the Shaykh says that the isnad is sahih on the authority of Abdurrahman ibn Abdul Qari, that he heard Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu saying, while he was on the minbar teaching the people, قُلْ, he was saying, while he was on the minbar teaching the people, التَّهِيَاتُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَوَاتُ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ, till he mentioned, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ أَيُّهَا النَّبِيِّ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُ. This indicates, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin said, that after the Prophet ﷺ died, the companion said it this way, and that way, يعني السَّلَامُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. There's leeway in this matter, so when a person prays, he may say, السلام عليك أيها النبي, or you may say السلام على النبي And this is mentioned in the Shaykh's explanation of the shurut of salat wa arkaniha wa wajibatiha, the preconditions for the salat and its pillows and its obligatory duties, the explanation of this book by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the explanation by Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. And this book has also been translated along with the explanation of the same book by Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a. And this is where we're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question, we have a minute before the adhan, or two, or three. Naam. Any question about what we stated tonight? Any question? Anything that's not clear? Taib, then if there's no question, that's good. Then my question is to us, after we hear these beneficial matters concerning our salat, do we find ourselves performing our salat with more khushu', with more tama'anina? Do we find ourselves coming to the masjid on time for the salat, performing the prayers in jama'ah? Do we find ourselves concentrating on what we are doing in the prayer and what we are saying and getting nearer to Allah? If we do, alhamdulillah, it is indeed a ni'mah from Allah, because there is no success except that is from Allah. If you have found success in improving your relationship with Allah, it is from Him. It is His favor. And therefore, we should be thankful and grateful. And if we have not, then beg Allah, ask Him for the success in improving your situation and bringing us near to Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.